Blog Talk Radio. Hello, and thank you for joining me for this special episode of the Growing Up Chaotic Show, the show that provides a 360-degree view on all topics related to addiction, recovery, domestic violence, and mental illness. I am your host, Dawn Clancy. According to SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, nearly 24.6 million Americans were illicit drug users in 2013. Now, just for a moment, take that number and try to imagine the number of people that were impacted by that illicit drug use. Think about the families. Think about the number of mothers, fathers, cousins, grandfathers, coworkers, and best friends. Think about all the people that were pulled into and torn apart by that vicious cycle of addiction. Clearly, the numbers are staggering and the heartache is real, and we need to start talking about it. That's why I've created the Sibling Project, exploring how the lives of siblings are impacted by addiction. Over the next several weeks, I will be speaking one-on-one with a group whose voice we rarely, if ever, get to hear, the siblings of addicts and alcoholics. It is my hope with this series of podcasts that we can spark a new conversation that focuses on the countless number of siblings living and struggling alongside an addicted loved one. Now, to kick off this Sibling Project, I am so excited to be joined today by Nicole. And just from the emails that she and I have exchanged over the past almost month ago, I think, I can already tell that this young lady has a lot to say, and I'm thrilled that she's here to open up this series with us. So let's welcome Nicole. How are you today, Nicole?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So again, thank you for participating in this project and for being willing to share, you know, some really personal stuff. It's awesome. I know before we started recording, I was telling you how awesome you are, and I meant it, so I want everybody to know.
Thank you so much. Right. It's definitely a hot topic right now, too.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's get started. Just want to learn a little bit more about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm currently 21 years old. I don't live at home anymore because it was kind of hard. But my dad struggled with addiction when I was younger. He was an alcoholic and he was a cokehead. And then he got sober when I was 10. And then my brother started to chaotically use when I was 13, and it hasn't stopped ever since. And he's been in and out of jail, and it's just kind of one of those things that has torn up our family and, you know, created a divide.
I swear, I feel like, and I know I wrote this to you in some of the emails that we've passed on to each other, but I feel like I'm talking to myself. I know exactly what you're talking about when you have a brother or, you know, it could be a sibling, it could be anybody, it could be also a sister that's in and out of jail. It's like a crazy way to live. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I meet people and I'm like, oh, you know, where are your, you have any siblings? Oh, do you have a brother? You know, oh, what does your brother do? And you're just kind of like, oh, he's in jail. Like, you don't know what to say, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so tell us then a little bit about your brother. I know that you considered your brother to be your best friend, and unfortunately, you know, addiction has gotten away of that. But tell us about a little bit about your relationship with him before addiction became an issue.
Well, since I grew up in a household with my dad using when I was so young, I'm sorry. My brother was always the one. To protect me from all of it. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard seeing him do the same thing that my dad was doing. But I was always trying to copy him, be like him. I played his favorite sport, you know. Sorry.
No, don't be sorry. I have been there, believe me. I I feel like I'm talking to myself. I know exactly what you're going through, so you're doing a great job.
Thank you. It's just, you know, like, it's really hard seeing someone who you care so much about hurt themselves. Because you know that they're so much better than that and that they can go so far in life, but there's just that monster that's bringing them down.
Yeah, I don't even know how to say it because I keep saying it's like a broken record, but it is. It's one of the most frustrating things as a sibling is that you know that this person who you love has so much potential, and yet they're just kind of letting it wash down the toilet. And don't you sometimes feel like you just want to grab them and just say, like, what the F are you doing with your life? I mean,
yeah,
I've done that before.
I have done it so many
okay.
times.
I've done it before, too.
How do I get through your thick skull? Like, it's not doing anything for you. It's just bringing you down.
Now, you mentioned in the beginning that your dad also struggled with addiction and that he got sober. Did that have any effect on your brother? Was he using at that point, or did that change anything in his behavior, kind of maybe motivate
him
to get too?
We were really young when it happened. Well, I was really young. He's 6 years older than me. So at the time, he was probably 16. So he saw a lot of stuff, and I think that did affect a lot of things. But this is one of the things that has made such a big divide in our household is because my dad went to rehab once and got sober. My brother's been to rehab numerous amounts of times and hasn't gotten clean. He even went to the same rehab that my dad went to in California called Hogue Hospital. And it was just one of those things, like, why can't you do it? Dad did it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It has created a big kind of split between all of us. But I don't know, like, what he saw, because I did see a lot of stuff, so I don't know if it affected him different than how it affected me. We're just different, and he took it personally of all the things that my dad did through his addiction.
Right.
I mean, you make mistakes, and you just got to grow from it, but...
Do you ever find yourself... Now, I know you mentioned that you're 21, you're of drinking age, and I know when I was your age, which may have been a long time ago, but I don't want to say that, so let's just pretend I didn't say that. I was always afraid that I was... I mean, I love my brothers, but I was always afraid that I was going to follow in their footsteps, like there was some sort of family curse that, you know, I was going to be an addict too, so I was really careful about drinking and stuff. Do you ever find that... Do you ever find yourself thinking that way as well, or just kind of wondering, like, you know, will I ever end up being like that if I start going down this road?
Well, I just turned 21 2 days ago. So,
happy birthday!
Yeah. But I know what you mean, but no, because I just feel like I'm so different from that, and I, not to say that I'm above that, but I feel like I'm above that, and I would never do that to myself. Or make my parents go through that, so I'm careful about it. So I don't know, I honestly can never see myself being an addict.
Right.
Because I've just seen, like, how much it affects my parents and what it's done to all of us. I would never put anyone through that. But I guess you can't choose it, so.
Right, no,
I don't think I have it in me.
Right. No, I agree with you 100% that I think when you are... It's weird because I do think that the birth order affects addiction, especially, like, for example, you grew up in a family where your dad, you know, struggled with addiction. So your brother was older and he got to processed things differently than you did as far as, like, what went on in your house, and that infected him differently. And I mean, not saying that it's an advantage to be the younger one, but you kind of grow up.
I don't remember a lot of it.
Right. Well, there you go. There's one advantage. But, you know, it's also at the same time, you kind of, I feel like you have this mentality, like, I've watched what's happened and I don't want to create the same mistakes. I don't know. It's odd. I'm sure there are studies out there about it. I just haven't read any of them yet. Maybe I will after we get off here today, but it's just interesting. It's really interesting. But anyway, You had written also in one of the emails that we exchanged that people don't realize how much addiction affects siblings. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that a little bit more. You know, just talk about the ways in which your brother's addiction has, you know, impacted you, maybe impacted your social life, just anything that you would want people that aren't going through a similar situation to know. What do you think that we need to know about it?
Well, one thing is that, like, I always think of is when my parents are no longer here, it's supposed to be me and my brother. But if he's not, can't keep himself clean, then it's like, I'm going to be left alone. And growing up when I was around 13 with your brother using all the time, it's just like, I had to grow up differently. I was always the strong one in the family. I always kept my composure and just kept everything super perfect. I got, like, straight A's all the time because I just wanted my parents to know that I'm good and that I'm there for them. And I just wanted to be the strong one. And it was really hard being a teenager because I felt like I missed out on a lot of stuff because I was always trying to be perfect. I'm just trying to keep everything together, keep us together. So, I mean, with friends, it's hard to connect with people who don't know what's going on because I feel like they can be so free, like, spirited, and I felt like I couldn't be because, you know, I always had to keep this, like, straight face on so I wouldn't just break down. I feel like it's affected me a lot more as I got, older and I moved away. Like, it's all hitting me. It's weird. Like, I feel like recently it's just, like, everything has hit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, like, super depressed.
It's hard. And I mean, like I said, I'm going to say a lot older than you, but I don't mean to say that because I don't want to admit to that. I don't want to admit to it, but no, I understand exactly where you're coming from, and I've been exactly where you are. And I think for us as siblings, it's a process of coming to understand that this person that we love, like, is capable of making their own decisions, and they have to pay the consequences for those decisions. And at some point you get, I promise you it's possible. I mean, I hope that with your brother, you know, I there's always the possibility that things will change, but I think you get to a point when you finally realize that it's, you kind of have to love this person from a distance and you become mm-hmm. okay with that. And I know it sounds weird. People say to me, what do you mean love someone from a distance? That just, what does that mean? It just means that you love that person no matter what, but things in their life have to change before, you know, they can be a part of your life. Have you had to put down boundaries and stuff with your brother, or is he pretty much, have you lost contact with him, or do you talk to him at all?
My mom, it sounds like exactly like you. My mom has distanced herself and has been going to Al-Anon meetings and just has been focusing on herself because it was ruining her. But I just find it's very hard for me because I just feel like I'm his protector because I'm the only one who's trying, I guess. Not trying, but I just feel like still need to be, like, I need to be the bigger sibling. It's weird. But I still talk to my brother. He's been sober for about 3 weeks now, so
okay.
So he's back to his old self, and, you know, but since I am far, I don't really get to talk to him that much, especially when he's using. I kind of, like, I just blow his phone up, and I talk to him, and he just sounds crazy, so I just kind of tell him I love him and hang up the phone.
Right.
It's hard not to let it get to you, though.
No, absolutely. There isn't a day that goes by that I don't think about my brothers. I mean, it's basically impossible not to do.
Yeah.
And it is. It's very painful, as you said. And I think your mom, it sounds like she's doing well. Have you ever considered going to Al-Anon meetings, or is it just?
I don't even know where I would, like, find one. Because I live in San Francisco, and I don't know. I feel like I wouldn't be able to do it without my mom. I don't know.
Right, right. No, it's tricky. It is. Because I'll tell you, when I went to my first Al-Anon meeting, it was a coworker. It was a coworker. Like, I was in my early 20s, and I was acting crazy, and my coworker kind of picked up on it, and she was like, I think you need to come to an Al-Anon meeting with me, and I was like, ah, whatever. So I went with her, and the first, I mean, and this is a girl that I didn't really know very well, and the first maybe, like, month that I went to meetings, I think I just cried the whole time.
That's what my mom said.
I bawled my eyes out, but I'm telling you, I mean, and I, you know, everybody's different. You know, you have to figure out what works for you. But I know that when I went to Al-Anon meetings, I discovered that there were other people going through what I was going through. And that kind of made me feel better. I mean, I'm not trying to push you, you know, to go to Al-Anon. I'm just, you know, just being able to connect with other people that can understand what you're going through can sometimes, like, mean the world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it is very hard to explain, too. Like, just finding the words that fit, it's very difficult. And being able to say it with not crying and being all shaky, very difficult, too.
Right, right.
But, no, I mean, I look into it, but I just, I don't know, I haven't pushed myself to go yet.
Right.
I think
well,
I should, because it'd be good.
When you're ready, you'll go. I mean, there's no, you know, if you choose to go, you'll go. If that's something that you know you're ready to do, when you're ready to do it, you'll do it. I think that it's so bizarre. Oh man, there's so many things that I want to say to you. It's just like because I feel I've been exactly where you are, but it's truly. You know, just being able to talk to someone who's so honest. I mean, you're clearly incredibly emotional about this, which is totally understandable, but you're also letting us see that, and you have no idea how many people that you're helping as a result of that. It's just, it's incredible. And I say that because I was once where you were. I know that's really hard to understand, and you're like, what? But it's true, but it's true. Okay, so... Now, you've said that your brother's been clean for about 3 weeks.
Yes.
What is your hope for the future? I mean, clearly, you know, you'd want your brother to remain clean, but what are your hopes for the future?
I just want our family to enjoy each other and love each other for everyone's flaws and faults, and for him just to know that I love him. Hold on. And that there is so much more out there for him, and that he doesn't need to do that to feel happy. That he can find stuff that make him happy and find someone that can give him that unconditional love that he needs. And that I'm always here for him.
Nicole, I swear, you are so amazing. I mean, you're so strong. Like, you don't even realize how awesome it is that you. I don't know. I'm fumbling over my own words now because it's just wonderful. I mean, I know it's really painful for you, and at the same time, it's just I can totally relate to that what you talk about, like when you say that you love your brother no matter what, that you'll always be there for him. I remember just really quick, I was going to meet up with my brother, and I didn't realize that he lived in a crack house.
Yeah.
So I went to meet up with him, and I figured out that he was living in a crack house, and he was just totally strung out and crazy. It was just the worst I had ever seen him. And I remember I left, and then a couple days later, I had called him, and I said exactly what you just said to me about your brother. I said, I love you and I'll always be here for you. And it's so painful. And I think that people who have like normal, regular families don't understand that. And it can be frustrating at times because a lot of people, know a thing or two about addiction or know somebody who struggles with addiction, but it can be so frustrating to not be able to talk to normal families, normal siblings about what that feels like. Yeah,
especially
what that feels like.
See, like, when you have friends who have a bunch of siblings and they're not close, it makes me so sad. Like, I would do anything for him. And it's weird not seeing people feel like that for their own siblings. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. I remember when I was in high school and I had a friend, she was like my best friend, and she had two older brothers too. And they fought all the time. And I remember getting so angry with her. You know, she'd say, I hate my brothers, blah, blah. I'm like, you are such a jerk. And, you know, because
so
I would give
lucky,
anything.
Like,
yeah.
It's a crazy thing.
Yeah, it's definitely. So what would you, I mean, I know I sort of asked you this before, but you have such a unique perspective because you are a sibling. And like I mentioned in the intro, we often don't get to hear from siblings about the way that addiction affects them. So what would you, like, this is your chance to tell the world, what is it that you want them to know? Nicole says.
Nicole says that my mom sent me this really good poem that I need to send to you about sibling. It was very hard for me to read because it was so dead on. It was just like, we are the quiet ones. We're the ones who are just keeping everything together. We have so much on our plate, and it's really difficult keeping everything together in a family who doesn't want to be kept together. And I just want people to know sometimes I can be a bitch, but I have a lot of shit going on, and I don't mean to be. And, I mean, I've pushed people away because I don't like getting close to people because I'm so scared that people are going to disappoint me. I don't know. I don't like talking about myself.
Well, come on, girl. You got to talk about yourself.
I know, you're overdue. It's just,
you know what?
There's just so much to say about it, and it's so hard to find a perfect word that describes us. Like, what happens in our life? I don't know. Like, sometimes you are ignored because your family's focusing on this person, so then my feelings get pushed aside a lot of the time. I don't know. I am who I am for the reasons that I was brought up for, and I just don't ever want to be judged for that. And it was hard growing up with that because in high school, you're supposed to be, like, fun and free, and it was just very difficult.
No, I can totally relate to that. I can totally relate to that. You take, like you said in the beginning, you take on this responsibility, right? So you kind of have to grow up faster than the rest of your peers do. And as a result of that, you become a little bit more serious. It's harder for you to have fun. And people sometimes can take that as, oh, you know, a lot of people would tell me that they thought I was snobby because I was just
so,
like.
Yeah, they thought I was stuck up. I was like.
Yeah, and it's not. It's just
that I
don't
find that fun. Like,
yeah.
I don't need to go out at 16 and go party. Like, that's just not me.
And you have a different view of life, too. You have a you've seen life in a different way, which I think that it's hard to communicate that to a person, you know, like, especially when you're a teenager. My brother's an addict, and I don't want to go out with you and party because I've seen what that can do. Like, you're not going to say that as a teenager to your friends. You know,
I wouldn't even be able to express that either. Like, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you don't really understand unless you go through it, and that's why I think people need to come together. Like Al-Anon, I guess I should go because that's kind of how I feel, that talking with people really opens up and can make you, like, feel that you're not alone and that everyone who has had an addict through, has been through this and has felt like this, and that you are not alone, and that there are so many people out there who have a difficult time talking about it, like myself. And, yeah, I don't know if that made any sense. I feel like I'm just, like, talking on my butt now.
No. No, it makes total sense. And, you know, the whole – it's funny, I mean, because – the whole time that you're talking and, you know, you're talking about, like, what's difficult for you and you push people away because you're afraid, as strange as that may seem to you, and this might not make sense, as strange as those behaviors may seem to you, they're actually very normal for what you've been through. If that makes any sense at all, it might not make sense right now, but just keep that in the back of your mind, and I swear at some point it will make total sense. Because, listen, you're a smart girl. I can tell that just by talking to you. I mean, we've only emailed. You're a smart girl. You know, I used to hate it when people would say to me, oh, you'll figure it out, because I'm like, you know, I'm trying. Why don't you help me, you know? But
yeah, push me in the right direction.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to advocate for Al-Anon. I don't have any, like, special partnership with them. But even if you just went to a meeting, you don't even have to talk. You don't, you know, just to be around, like you said, just to be around other people that have are going what you through, that have, are going what you're going through, that have been through already what you've been through. You know, you don't have to keep going if you don't want to, or anything. You know, whether it's, I mean, I don't know if you're in therapy or whatever it is. The point is, I think what it really comes down to is Nicole needs to start taking care of Nicole.
Yeah,
I think I just turned into your therapist, and
I'm
not a therapist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not. Please,
I'll be calling
please,
next
please.
Week for my daily.
Oh,
but,
no.
Okay,
but
that's one thing that I think siblings need to work on, is focusing on yourself, because we are always the ones who are telling our moms, it's okay, it's okay, I love you, telling your dads, it's okay. He's just being him. He's just being Kyle. Like, it just happened. And then telling your brother, it's okay. We're always here for you. I love you. You know, it gets a lot. Like, you're needy. And then if you have other siblings, if you're the middle child trying to bring up the little child, it's just, it's very difficult being the strong one all the time. And taking on the role of, I mean, I act like I'm my brother's mother. Like, and he always gets mad at me. He's like, why are you always trying to be like mom, just be my little sister. I'm like, oh, kind of difficult.
Right. No, it's
watching
it's totally
you do what you do.
Exactly. And you spend, I mean, just from experience, again, I'm not a therapist, just being a sibling myself, is that you spend so much time worrying about that other person that you forget about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I keep saying this, and now I'm going to go look in the mirror and see my face sagging as I get older, but I was in the same position that you were in when I was your age. I swear to you, Nicole, I mean, I know, listen, I've already decided we need to keep in touch after this anyway, so... We can email
Definitely.
Each other. You can email me anytime if you have, you know, want to just get something off your chest, but besides that... I've been where you are, and I can promise you that it can get better. And by better, I don't mean that one day you're going to wake up and your life's going to be perfect and your brother's going to be clean and family's going to be perfect, because I can't really say that that's ever going to happen. But it can get better for you. And I think that's really what's, like, I, you know, what people could get out of this, you know, talking with us, this interview that we've done together, is that it's, like you said, it's so important as a sibling of someone, of an addict or an alcoholic, is to just to start slowly taking care of yourself.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things. I mean, I moved away to, like, try and take care of myself, but I don't know, it all caught up with me. It hasn't really been working.
Have you ever heard the saying, no matter where you go, there you are?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. Well, again,
it's definitely true.
Yes, it's true, right? No matter where you go,
yeah.
There you are. I thought the same things. You know, I'll move away and my problems will stay. And it's like, whoop, nope, they follow me.
No, I still get told everything that's happening. Like, it still affects me. Maybe even more so because I don't get to see him and see what's going on. So all I get to do is hear what's going on.
Well, unfortunately, we are out of time at this point. But, Nicole, in all seriousness, I would love to keep in touch with you. Like, please email me at any time or whatever. I really believe that you are on the right track. And I think that, we give ourselves a harder time than anybody else possibly could. And I think from what I hear from you is that you're just like this innocent heart and you're giving yourself such a hard time. And I promise you that it can get better because I've been there. And I think you're doing a wonderful job. And I mean, thank you for being part of this project and just sharing so candidly. I mean, I know you might want to smack me after that I say this, but it's actually quite beautiful, I think, because yours is a voice that the world, especially in the world of addiction, we don't get to hear that ever. I mean, I didn't when I was your age. So you're doing some great things over there.
Thank you so much. I mean, hope I'm understandable because I was very shaky. It was very difficult, but I'm glad I did it.
No, you're wonderful. And listen, when we hang up with each other, I want you to go out and do something nice for yourself. It can be something simple, like you could just go for a nice walk. What, I don't know. You have to just do, even if it's just 5 minutes, just start off little. Just start doing little nice things for yourself. And then I'm going to send you an email tomorrow, and I'm going to ask you what you did.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to send you an email on that poem. You need to read it. I think it will hit home for you.
Okay, please send it to me. And if you think I'm weird or I'm not trying to stalk you, Nicole, you could be like, please wait, just leave me alone. Hey, you know. No, but seriously, I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but it can and it will get better. And I like I said, I haven't met you, you know, face to face, but I think you're on the right track. Just ease up on yourself a little bit and start doing some little nice things for Nicole, just Nicole.
Thank you. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to be checking in on you. All right, Nicole. So thank you again for coming on and being part of this project. And clearly we'll be in touch with each other.
Yeah, thank you. Have a nice day.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Such a great interview with Nicole. Wow. Wow. Well, clearly I'm going to be in touch with Nicole, and she's just, you know, people don't, like she said, you know, people don't understand how much of an impact addiction can have on siblings. And I don't remember ever when I was growing up ever having conversations like that with someone who was also being impacted, you know, by a loved one's addiction, especially, you know, with a sibling. So we, with the sibling project, we've got about 4 more interviews that we're doing over the next month, and we'll be posting them. And it's just going to be all different, really interesting point of views that all coming from siblings that I just can't wait to share. I mean, this with Nicole was just so incredibly awesome. I'm so looking forward to the rest of this project. Anyway, thanks for listening, and thanks to Nicole for making this first episode of the Sibling Project possible. Until next time.